What you are about to hear are some highlights from those global websites and the UK's very own Indie Media site. For more information, or to get the news direct from the streets, check out www.indiemedia.org.uk.
Good morning, good evening. Yeah, whatever time it is, whatever day it is, wherever you are, on the road, in your car, on the move, or taking a stroll, says how we show it down. Nation to nation, planet to planet. Ha ha! I saw we grooving slide. Now here's how we set the program shape. From dunce to small fries, it don't matter what your size is. Yo, sir!
Hello.
Hello. Welcome to the show. This is Resonance 104.4 FM. You're with the Indie Media Radio London crew, which today is Penny, who's back from reporting in Evian.
Hooray!
Andrew, from the back of beyond.
Yeah, right.
And
back
back end of Brixton. And me, Rachel, back with half a voice but a lot of mouth. Stay tuned with us for the next hour. We've got an explosion of reports from the Indie Media Global Newswires. We've also got some reports from Evian, Penny.
Yeah, we've got reports back from the camps at Evian, some audio from some people that were kind of wrongly arrested and dragged around, and what they have to say about that. And some reports about the peaceful protests on the bridge, which, due to very strange policing, caused the Swiss to uprise against the German police, which was very interesting. We'll talk more about that later.
Bit of conflict. Apparently these audio clips are pretty inspirational, aren't they? You're telling me they're all happy and positive. So we look forward to hearing about that. Also look forward to having a chat with Marion, who's our guest in the studio today. She's from the No Border Network, which is a very broad affiliation of grassroots groups who campaign for freedom of mobility and freedom of residency. I hope I've got that right, kind of.
Free movement, free communication, against the globalization and modernization of border regimes.
Ah, that's much better. Thanks for that, Marion. We look forward to having a chat with you later on. First up, here's Ziggy.
Lost the mind in my memories of my forefather's legacy. I am one of you. You are one of me. Why don't we set the people free? How I grieve to see fulfillment of prophecy. Naive of me to think things could change while man remains the same. So war will be for me every day. No peace for the children of Israel. Gaza cries, all the tears from her eyes. Will there be no peace for the children of Palestine? Shalom, salam, shalom, salam, shalom. Shalom, salam, shalom, salam, shalom, salam. Yeah. Shalom, salam, shalom, salam, shalom, salam. Shalom, salam, shalom, salam, shalom, salam. Yeah. Who will take the blame for the blood of my children? To who does vengeance belong? To no one, no one. We're dying from tanks and suicide bombs. The only answer is to live as one. And justice will come for my sons.
and justice will come for my sons. Shalom, salam, shalom, salam, shalom. Yeah. Shalom, salam, shalom, salam, shalom, salam. Shalom, salam, shalom, salam, shalom, salam. Shalom, salam, shalom, salam, shalom, salam. And I wonder why. And I wonder who. And I wonder what's in the heart of you. And I wonder why. And I wonder who. And I wonder what's in the heart of you. Children or children, no matter color or fate. And I wonder if now history will teach us again. So war will be for me every day. No peace.
That was Ziggy Marley, a track called Shalom Salam. That's going out to everybody involved in the campaign for real peace and real justice in Palestine and Israel.
And continuing on our sort of poetry, comedy corner at the beginning of the show, which we've had for the two or three weeks now. I'm going to read a few things from that great man who is the president of the USA. It's not quite poetry, but it is quite comical. And this is dedicated to Dave and Blissero. The first one is...
Who love poetry.
The first one by President Bush is, I know what I believe, I will continue to articulate what I believe, and what I believe what I believe is right. I'll start again.
Come on, Andrew.
And there's no doubt... It's very hard to read, actually, his stuff.
Yeah.
And there's no doubt in my mind, not one doubt in my mind, that we will fail. Next one. I am mindful not only of preserving executive powers for myself, but for predecessors as well. Redefining the role of the United States from enablers to keep the peace to enablers to keep the peace from peacekeepers is going to be an assignment. What that quite means is, I'm not sure what that quite means. And maybe, I don't know, there's so many of them to choose from. A few about the Middle East. One quote, I understand that the unrest in the Middle East creates unrest throughout the region. That's quite obvious, really, isn't it? These terrorist acts, and, you know, the responses have got to end in order for us to get the framework, the groundwork, not the framework, the groundwork, to discuss a framework for peace, to lay the... All right.
I don't know why. It's pretty hard to explain, isn't it, why, you know, the fact that the most powerful man in the world should be coming out with these statements is actually funny as opposed to, you know,
sad.
Completely horrifying.
Yeah. I've got a couple to end.
Have you got some more?
Yeah. He said, August 15th, 2001, also about the Middle East, the suicide bombings have increased. There's too many of them. And the last one, I think, which was May the 2nd, 2002. After all, a week ago, there were Yasser Arafat was boarded up in his building in Ramallah, a building full of, evidently, German peace protesters and all kinds of people. They're out now. He's now free to show leadership, to lead the world. I think that'll lead quite nicely into the next piece, which
right.
is a bit more serious.
This was posted to The Wire by a name of Christian S. on the 6th of June, and the title is, This is the Israeli Ceasefire, This is Israeli Goodwill. The Palestinian Authority and the Israeli military government have agreed to a ceasefire. The terminology is, of course, misleading. It suggests that there are two equal sides at war. The Israeli government receiving more than $12 million a day from the US to supplement its arsenal of weapons of mass destruction has not ended its illegal military occupation of the West Bank and Gaza Strip, nor has it ceased imposing curfew on West Bank towns, building settlements, checkpoints, or using APCs, Apache helicopters, tanks, jeeps, and ground soldiers throughout the West Bank and Gaza. Yesterday, Israeli occupation forces assassinated five Palestinians in the West Bank town of Atiel, near Tokaran. On Tuesday, the Israeli military government released 100 out of over 8,000 Palestinian political prisoners. Most of those released were being held without charge or trial in administrative detention, a six-month sentence that Israelis renew for years if they want to. Many of those released had just a few days left of their sentence. A Palestinian journalist working for a US outlet has just told me that amongst the released he spoke with in Ramallah, most only had 6 or 7 days left. Information disseminated by the Israeli government has passed the release off as a mark of good faith. Out of the 100 released, 13 are from Bethlehem. One of them is a 23-year-old man taken out of his sleep at 2 a.m. 6 months ago. He was given 6 months administrative detention without charge or trial. The 6 month is up in a few days, so he was released. This is not goodwill. He served his illegal sentence and now he is home. The release of Abu Suka, a hero to many who was imprisoned by the Israelis for 27 years, was a political gesture. He told the press, "I am happy to see my children, who are grown now, my grandchildren and all of my family. But this is not complete. This is not peace. There will never be peace until the children I raised inside the prison are also released." The Israeli military government began this goodwill gesture, release of Palestinian political prisoners 2 weeks ago. Over the course of 2 days, they released 8 West Bank Palestinians from completed administration detention sentences and deported them directly from Israeli prison to Gaza. For most of the last month, the Gaza Strip was closed to everyone, foreigners, journalists, including CNN, diplomats. And during the complete closure, Palestinians trapped inside reported intense Israeli attacks by sea, air and land, killing with impunity. This week, a few foreigners were allowed in, some working with the European Commission. Israeli soldiers opened fire on their diplomatic car as they passed through Beit Hanun on their way to the Eretz checkpoint. For the past several months, the IOF has destroyed the northern Gaza Strip area bit by bit, demolishing the houses, displacing hundreds of Bedouins, ripping up orange groves, degrading the soil. One of the women working for the European Commission has just told me, "Beit Hanun is gone." The Israeli military government says that it will dismantle only 10 of its roughly 267 illegal settlements. The roadmap, in addition to long-standing UN resolutions 242 and 338 and international law, calls for ceasing building and dismantling all Israeli settlements. The 10 the Israelis are discussing dismantling are not those creating the cantons that divide the West Bank from itself, but rather those that are considered outposts and illegal under Israeli law, in addition to international law. Another empty gesture. The Israeli military government told the international community last week that it would lift its complete closure of the West Bank and Gaza Strip so that low-wage Palestinian workers can work for the Israeli economy. A local human rights worker told me the Israelis have fired 20,000 imported foreign workers because they were too expensive. One strategy of the occupation is to cripple the Palestinian economy by destroying the infrastructure, agricultural land, and local industry. In addition to imposing closure and curfew, which make going to work within the West Bank impossible, all of these actions create a devastating dependence on Israeli products and jobs. In the same breath that the Israeli government said it would ease the closure, it also said that Israeli soldiers would remain throughout the West Bank and Gaza Strip. The day after the announcement of the goodwill gesture to ease the closure, the IOF imposed curfew on Ramallah, as they have done today as well. Soldiers were filmed beating residents in the streets. A man trapped at the Qalada checkpoint reported via telephone that there were up to 200 Israeli soldiers, Apaches, APCs and tanks. He said there's nowhere to go to get away. Residents of Jenin and Nablus are suffering under frequent curfews also. Reports from Nablus indicate that last night Israeli soldiers placed a bomb in the old city. This is the Israeli ceasefire, the Israeli goodwill. For several days in a row, F-16s flew over Bethlehem and helicopters circled. Israeli tank shelling and shooting is still frequent. This week, Israeli jeeps drove to the centre of Manja Square in front of the Church of Nativity and shot a child in the eye and another in the leg. The children threw stones. Yesterday, Israeli soldiers with tanks and jeeps forced Palestinians to crouch on the ground with their hands on their heads near Bethlehem University. This is happening amidst roadmap talks in the Sinai, Aqaba, and Jerusalem. The roadmap itself is loaded with points that have been negotiated in the past, ones the Israelis have not been honouring, and points that cannot be negotiated. UN Resolution 194 demands the right of return for all Palestinians as a collective and individual right. As such, it cannot be negotiated. The Israeli military government is openly reporting that it will not cease its illegal practice of targeted assassinations, as it demonstrated yesterday in the West Bank. This is the Israeli ceasefire, as occupation, humiliation, home demolitions and killings have been part and parcel to the Israeli idea of peace. Yesterday, a Palestinian journalist working for an American television network spent 5 hours from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. travelling from Ramallah to Bethlehem, a short distance that without Israeli checkpoints and soldiers obstructing movement within the West Bank would take only 40 minutes. He says, "Now there are more checkpoints than before this week. I think at least 3 or 4 more now around Ramallah." I ask him why the Israelis are building more checkpoints. More checkpoints at a time when they should be dismantling them. He replies, "When they want to show the world that they are implementing the roadmap, they will show pictures of themselves on the news, removing these new checkpoints, and the regular ones will remain. They want to trick the world as usual." Christine S., 6th of June, 2003. Hey.
Crazy jump and sound boy, bout you one come test the champion sound. You must be crazy, crazy, crazy jump and sound boy. If you test the champion, you're gonna die now. You're playing lazy, lazy all night. Get the people then daisy, daisy with your stir. Crazy, crazy, crazy jump and sound boy. Bout you won't contest the champion sound. You must be crazy, crazy, crazy jump and sound boy. If you get the champion, you're gonna die now. Oh Lord, so send me a doublet, make we kill one. Hey, cause you know we no respect jump on. Oh God, Michael Farmer, send me a doublet, make we kill one. Cause you know they shouldn't test the champion. No way, kill another one.
That was a track called Crazy, Crazy, Crazy Idiot Soundboy. That's by Sugar Minnow. That's from a Roots Maneuver compilation, Bad Meaning Good. Coming up now, we've got some reports from Evian. Now, what are these reports of?
It's some audio from when people were held in the camps and resisting solidly in Lausanne.
At the G8 protests.
Yeah, at the G8 protests.
Okay.
Basically, I've been away in Evian for the protests against the G8 summit. The first big protest was against the IOM, International Organisation of Migration. More about that later with Marion on her No Border update and her summer camping calendar. on Sunday there were big manifestations in Annemarais, Lausanne and Geneva. I was following and covering the Lausanne demonstration, and at the end of the demonstration, protesters were herded into the campsite and threatened with arrest if they did not show their papers. Now, not everyone had papers, so people decided in an act of solidarity to sit together and refuse to hand over their papers. Now, what happened was the police started dragging people, pulling people along, kneeling on people. So we were there to film some of this, and this is a report from a protester that was experiencing it. I'm just going to press play now and fire away.
The police surrounded this camp after they had pushed us into it from the city center all the way. They were throwing tear gas and these concussion grenades to push us forward and closing all the ways to the side. They closed off the other forum where some of our stuff is. We wanted to take a swim, but we cannot. We're sitting here in the terrible heat. Then they came, they surrounded the camp. They are demanding that people come to them, give them their IDs and be taken to a secure location to be interrogated with delegates. Of course, we are refusing. We are all here together. We are strong. We are doing it non-violently and we are not letting them. If they want to take us, they have to take us. We are, some are locking arms, some are going limp, but we are not going to let them win this way. And the whole world is watching and this repression will not go on. And this is our fight for justice and it's going to continue no matter what.
Was the report there from Yuri, and the fight did continue and people did stick together and it was an amazing show of solidarity. Everyone was singing and in the end the police were forced to let the majority of people go. So well done to the solidarity in the camp at Lausanne. And now what track we play next?
I don't know, soon find out. Here it is.
What kind of place is this? Myself again, I ask. What kind of people live here that was moving too much? I've lived in the hills and among the houses, in the wind and in the rain, but making me feel strange. Just now I'm 6 miles below sea level, facing off a Siberian. 6 miles below sea level, facing off a Siberian. Here I in the lowest place, church turns out for miles. Wind rush all into my face. Think I'll stay here for a while. Thunder. Just now I'm 6 miles below sea level, facing off a Siberian. 6 miles below sea level, facing off a Siberian.
That was a track by Tarantism called Eclectic. And right now we're going to go and have a look at some reports from the global indie media Newswires. If you want to check out any of these stories, we're not doing anything to them except read them out. We're not editing them at all. And you can find them on www.indiemedia.org.
First one, Russia. Ecologists unite against pipelines. Yesterday, a meeting in Irkutsk. Ecologists from some of Russia's most respected ecological movements issued a joint statement expressing their concern at plans for a web of pipelines to be constructed. the organizations EcoDefense, International Social Ecological Union, Greenpeace, World Wildlife Fund. But some of these words. Buryat, Regional, Baikal, Divisional, ISAR, Far East, Monitoring Baltic Pipeline Systems, met on the initiative of the Baikal Ecological Wave as the Russian government prepares to make a decision on the construction of oil pipelines in China and Russia's Far East. The ecologists concluded that any oil pipeline in the Baikal Basin would gravely threaten that area's delicate ecosystem and further threaten Lake Baikal. The Russian oil companies in favour of the pipelines include Yukos and Transneft. They speak of the future profit for Russia, but not of the degrading and eventual loss of a unique and valuable ecosystem, and their attitude more resembles the environmentally irresponsible actions of the Soviet Union than the environmentally aware stance of modern company.
Meanwhile, over in San Francisco, several hundred protesters gathered at the Bechtel headquarters last Thursday and blockaded the entrances. The citizens targeted Bechtel for its billions of dollars in post-war reconstruction contracts in Iraq. While over 100 police managed to open the building after a few hours, many Bechtel employees were told by their employers to take the day off. Iraq, according to these protesters, is now a colonized land, with US-based corporations like Bechtel leading the rape-for-profit charge. Many of the higher-ups at places like Bechtel are ex-military or somehow in bed with the Bush-Cheney cartel.
Yeah.
Excuse me, over at Corp Watch, an independent kind of monitor of corporate accountability in the US, they've got a fairly large dossier on Bechtel. It reports that on April the 17th, Bechtel received one of the first and largest of the rebuilding contracts in Iraq, worth $680 million over 18 months. The contract includes the rebuilding, repair, and/or assessment of virtually every significant element of Iraq's infrastructure, from power generation facilities to electrical grids to the municipal water and sewage systems. The contract was granted in backroom deals without open and transparent bidding processes, and the content remains hidden behind a veil of secrecy. The contract has not been publicly disclosed to American taxpayers, who will be paying the majority of the bill. Corp Watch says that while there is no doubt that Bechtel has experience in these areas, it is an experience from which the people of Iraq should be spared. If you want more information on this and other areas of Corp Watch investigation, you can check them out on the web, www.corpwatch.org.
Judgment Day.
And that was Misty in Roots, track called True Rasta. And back to global news. Chernobyl, $163 million and 5 years are needed to rebuild the sarcophagus covering Chernobyl. The company running Chernobyl AES released this information following claims by Alexander Rumenetsev that the current structure is liable to collapse. 17 years ago, after an explosion in the reactor, radioactive material contaminated areas in Ukraine, Belarus, Russia, and Western Europe. The spokesman said he did not doubt its efficiency as an emergency construction, but said sufficient scientific observation had not looked into its success as a long-term solution. International financial agencies have undertaken to fund this rebuilding, but that the construction work itself will not start until next year.
You're still tuned into Indie Media Radio London. We're live on Resonance 104.4 FM. Just to remind you that all these stories come from the Indie Media Newswires. If you want to have a look yourself, you can check it out on www.indiemedia.uk. .org.uk. You can also publish your own reports there, so if there's anything that you want to stand up and shout about, go to the site, plug in and hit the publish button. Just a quick call for Resonance FM, who are hosting us every week. This is their fundraising month, so we'd like you to make a donation. Resonance needs your contributions to help continue broadcasting, and you can send these giant contributions by PayPal or pay directly into their bank account or simply send in a cheque. For details, check out the website, www.resonancefm.com. Be great for everyone to support this station. It's been described by The Guardian as the best radio station in London and by The Village Voice as the best radio station in the world. So send in your checks. Shall we hit some music now?
Vas-y à fouille, exprime ton opinion.
Vote mon pote, voici les élections.
Vas-y à fouille,
exprime ton opinion. Un peuple imbute une fois, encore une fois, pour le même combat. Face à face pour la masse, voter est le vrai débat. Sceptique, effectivement, mais totalement décidé. Jeune, c'est ça, mais j'exprime quand même mes idées. Malien à 18 ans, oui, tu es responsable.
Vote mon pote,
je sais que tu en es capable. Mets-toi en remune de ta carte d'électeur.
Hey yo, vote mon pote,
pour un lendemain meilleur. Rends dans l'isoloir afin que personne puisse te voir. Élis le candidat en lequel tu places le plus d'espoir. Ça n'a rien de difficile, on demande à personne de décrocher la lune. Hein? Putain dans l'enveloppe et balance dans l'urne.
Le geste est si simple.
Mais d'une si grande conséquence, frangine, une frange à votant ensemble dans la joie et dans l'ambiance. Jeune citoyen malien, c'est ton droit, c'est ton destin. Prends-le en main, vote contribue au bonheur de ton prochain.
Kawili kata wote, kawili kata wote, kawili kata wote, matina tina tina she.
Bec à voter, Kajek à voter, Bec à voter, Bec à voter, Kajek à voter, Bec à voter, Bec à voter, Kajek à voter, Bec à voter, Bec à voter, Kajek à voter, Bec à voter.
That was a track by Rage, or probably Raj, called Votomania. That's from a compilation called Rap Song Visa, by which Deft Musical Link. I'd like to introduce our guest in the studio today, who is Marion from the No Border Network. Hello, Marion.
Hiya.
Hi. Can you just start off by telling us a little bit about the No Border Network?
Yeah, the European No Border Network started in 1998 at one of the EU summit protests that was in Tampere in Finland. Mm-hmm. And one of the major topics on the agenda of that summit was migration. It was all about enforcing migration control. And some people met up there in the protests and started the No Border Network, which has grown ever since. It's a huge network of grassroots groups from all over Europe. Very different groups, some classical anti-racist groups, some more direct action oriented. There are networks in various countries with the name No One Is Illegal. And they are all working together on a very loose basis, organizing border camps every summer, organizing deportation campaigns, protests against deportations of migrants at airports and stations. That's the No Border Network.
It's a pretty busy network. In fact, they were at Geneva last week, weren't they? What was going on there?
Yeah, it was really interesting. This time, the anti-summit protests had a lot of stuff around borders. One of the main demos on Sunday in Geneva was actually two demos. One started in Switzerland, one started in France, and they met at the border. Mm-hmm. Another No Border demo was a train from France to Switzerland, which was occupied, and not everybody had passports, and people made arrangements with the conductors to be able to take that train without paying and without documents. But the main No Border demonstration went under the slogan for free movement and free communication. It's a bit abstract, but if I tell you where the demo went, it becomes clearer. The demonstration went to the offices of the International Organization of Migration. That's an organization of global governance of migration. It organizes the provision of cheap labor in various countries, the deportation, all the practical things of deportation of people back to their home countries out of Europe. And it's the International Organization of Migration has offices all over the world. So the demo went there to protest against it. It also went to the WTO, where actually protesters managed to open the gates to the WTO, which is quite nice in terms of open borders. And
symbolic
they also
victory.
Yeah. And they also went to something called WIPO. One of the slogans was Wipe Out WIPO. WIPO is the World International Patent Organization, or World Information Patent Organization. And that shows the link between these two demands. Free movement is about crossing borders and against the control of borders all over the place. Free communication is about the freedom to communicate freely through all sorts of communication channels, including the internet, which is being increasingly controlled and restricted. So one of the banners at the No Border demo in Geneva said open source, which refers to free software that everybody can use and develop for free. Yeah, that was the demo in Geneva.
It's fantastic how all these issues link up together so seamlessly. It seems to make perfect sense when you describe it that way. Pretty busy network this summer as well. What's going on this summer for the No Border Network?
This summer, the No Border Network is again coordinating a chain of border camps and related actions. We did that before to just keep lots of different activities in various parts of Europe connected. There will be, well, the border camp in Romania has just started, and that's at a border triangle between Romania, Hungary, and Yugoslavia. That started on Monday. There's another one going to happen in Poland, another one in Puglia in Italy, and another one in Puglia, Italy, and Cologne in Germany. Mm-hmm. And there's also going to be another no border demo at the EU summit in Thessaloniki on the 19th of July in support of migrants. All these events are going to be connected through mobile media units. One of them is from the Public Theater Caravan. It's an Austrian and international group of activists, media activists, artists, performers. They're going to travel to all these different camps and put information on a website. The website is www.noborder.org.
That's great. What are some of the issues that you hope to be raising at these border camps this summer?
One major issue is always to organize the border camps in a way that's different from how the world is run. It's trying to be non-hierarchical, non-hierarchical and autonomous and all that. But the issues the No Border Network is looking at in all these different camps, in all these very specific locations, east and west and north and south, are, the first one is modernization and globalization of the border regimes. That has to be to do with global governance again. It has to do with campaigns against organizations like the International Organization of Migration. It has to do with the reinforcement of borders with new technologies like infrared cameras. It has to do with the setting up of international databases to store data about migrants coming into Fortress Europe, like the Schengen Information System, or another database in Germany collects all the data of residents with no German passports in Germany. So all this technology is used to enforce the borders, and mm-hmm. that is one of the issues, the globalization and modernization of the border regimes. The second issue that's going to be talked about and create actions is migration and work. Mm-hmm. And the third issue is the connections between the demands for free movement and free communication.
Hell of a lot of information to get out there. We hope you come back to the studio and tell us how all those border camps are going. Thanks a lot for joining us today, Marion. If you want some more information on the No Border Network, it is
www.noborder.org.
Thanks a lot.
Sebastián caminó. Catorce de junio 2000, vieron mis ojos salir. Fruto del amor, tú mi hijo has nacido. Bautizado con mi nombre, yo te respondes. Dragón en el chino y Shango de negro fino. En tus venas escondes. Mi voz será tu voz y como dos amigos mi experiencia será el camino que labrará tu futuro. Aunque hoy el mundo no esté seguro, trataré de darte todo aquello. Amor sincero, puro y bello, solo por ello escrito esta canción, tu ilusión que me conmueve día a día. Y por buena guía te llevo y eso espero y creo, hijo mío.
Tanto placer te darán, te darán los hijos que vivo para escucharlos llorar.
El culto de padre se llegó a levantar.
Tanto placer te darán los hijos que vivo para escucharlos llorar.
El orgullo de padre se te pone a cantar.
Hijo mi chiquito, tú me das la luz que más que tú, tus besos.
Llegas a mi alma y calma el alma. Mañana con tu inocencia pura, te amo y te amo con locura.
Llega la noche y yo apago la luna, me duermo en
Okay, that was a track by Orishas. The name of the track is eluding me. It's about as evasive as weapons of mass destruction in Iraq at the moment, but it is from the Emigranti CD. And Marion just told us while that was playing that the Thessaloniki EU summit is on the 19th of June.
The No Border Demo is on the 19th of June.
Okay.
The summit starts a bit earlier.
Right, okay. So that's coming up pretty soon. You're still tuned in to Indie Media Radio London. We're broadcasting live on Resonance 104.4 FM. Indie Media has many other outlets apart from the website, of course. If you want to check out some cinema, the Indie Media Cinema screens at the Other Cinema the last Thursday of every month. That's at Rupert Street in London. And it's an ongoing showcase of contemporary filmmakers finding new forms of cinema to show resistance to globalisation throughout the world. Tickets are £5 and £4 if you're unwaged.
And this is a plug for tonight at, I think it's the Astoria 2, but it's 157 Charing Cross Road. For all you old punks and young punks, Conflict are playing. Those anti-establishment people from years and years and years ago, they must be getting on a bit, but apparently they still make the same sort of music as they always did. Also, supporting them are the Inner Terrestrials, Active Slaughter and Flat Pig. Tickets are £6, doors open at 7 o'clock. It's a benefit for Disarm Dicey, which is a campaign to try and shut down the Defences Systems and Equipment International Arms Fair, which is taking place at the Excel Centre in London's Docklands from the 9th to the 12th of September. One quote from their website, Dicey provides a unique platform to see the latest systems and equipment from the world's defence industry and for companies of all sizes to develop international relationships and generate new business opportunities. Described on their website as an influential event in the international arms calendar. And we've got...
I was just going to say that tonight is going to be a big dedication to Guy Smallman, because Guy Smallman sorted out a lot of the video for the Conflict gig tonight, but was injured in Evian. So tonight will be a big dedication to Guy Smallman.
And here's just a little bit of what they sound like.
So that was Conflict. Very noisy. For those who want to check them out, they're at the Astoria 2 tonight, along with a load of other people, including a few of the crew from Indie Media London. I think the ones who are going to be there tonight are the ones who've been, well, a few of the ones who've been glued to the screen reporting from Evian for the last week, so they'll probably welcome your support.
And it'll be a chance for them to let their hair down.
Yeah.
Tu avais raison. Si t'es africain, sois africain. Si t'es américain, reste américain.
Ce qu'on s'en dit américain, dit qu'à l'américain. Ce qu'on s'en dit africain, dit qu'à l'africain. Ce qu'on s'en dit américain, dit qu'à l'américain. Ce qu'on s'en dit africain, dit qu'à l'africain. Ce qu'on s'en dit américain, dit qu'à l'américain. Ce qu'on s'en dit africain, dit qu'à l'africain. Ce qu'on s'en dit américain, dit qu'à l'américain. Ce qu'on s'en dit africain, dit qu'à l'africain.
Équateur, à la chaleur, ma saveur est corsée comme le café, plus robuste à chez moi. Le Congo du bas, celui qu'on décrit avec un cas, comme Africa, from Africa. Ma voix, à le gros grain, vraiment. Ma foi, tu me pousses, c'est pure patate douce. Mon choix, un soukous qui te secousse. N'est pas la frousse, d'après à la rescousse, avant que tu ne t'émousses. A rouler cette pierre que la basse mousse. Fils de la brousse, perdu chez Mickey Mouse. En plein hiver, dans cette glacière, on perd ses repères, chacun se terre. Dans sa misère, c'est l'enfer polaire. Passe un courant d'air entre deux frères. On ne se serre plus la main, on serre plutôt les dents et les poings. Américain, l'arme au poing façon ricain. À la fin, c'est un Africain de moins. Sonne l'alarme pour l'être humain frangin.
Ring the alarm.
Africain ou américain, néanmoins, c'est un terrien. un humain.
Say it.
So cause I'm American, they call American. So cause I'm African, they call African. So cause I'm American, they call American. So cause I'm African, they call African. So cause I'm American, they call American. So cause I'm African, they call African. So cause I'm American, they call American. So cause I'm African, they call African. So cause I'm American, they call African. So cause I'm African, they call African. So cause I'm American, they call American. So cause I'm American, they call American.
That was another track from the Rap Song Visa compilation. That was Tapio K, a track called Kika.
Right, now, interesting story, Texas gay sex laws. In the land of the free, what business does the government have in your bedroom? Can gay celibacy be imposed by law? The Supreme Court is set to decide in the Texas sodomy case. On September the 17th, 1998, John Lawrence and Tyron Garner were having sex in the bedroom of John's apartment in Houston. They were adults and the relationship was consensual. They left the front door unlocked. Police officers responding to a false call and looking for an armed intruder entered the apartment with their guns drawn. John and Tyron were arrested for violating the Texas sodomy law, a relic of the intolerant past of Texas that no modern nation should tolerate still. The two men spent the night in jail, were fined $200 each, and are now considered sex offenders in several states. Unlucky circumstance for sure, but sodomy laws are still alive and well in 13 US states. Texas, running a bit behind the times, specifically criminalised homosexual sodomy in 1973. The law, section 21.06 of the Texas Criminal Code, is what got John Lawrence and Tyron Garner into trouble. And now that law has been accepted for review by the Supreme Court. The gay and lesbian community awaits to either celebrate or protest the results.
And some good news from Canada, which I actually heard on the radio this morning, was that a High Court judge in Canada has said that marriage between gay couples, same-sex couples, is legal, and they can have marriage certificates.
People can get married from today. Yay!
What to learn, Texas. Some more news?
We've got some time quickly. Right, this is from Burma. Razali Ismail, the UN envoy to Myanmar, meets Aung San Suu Kyi, reports her to be in good spirits and unarmed. She has been held incommunicado under protective custody since the violent clashes of the 30th of May. However, he voiced concern at the continued denial of basic freedoms to leading members of the National League for Democracy in Burma. He also called on the international community to hold the government of Myanmar to account over these events and the continued human rights abuses that are carried out daily by the regime. In Liberia, tens of thousands of displaced Liberians converge on the capital in search of safety, a dire humanitarian situation. On Monday, the government of Liberia registered 5,000 internally displaced persons at the National Stadium. The World Food Programme has called for humanitarian corridors to be opened, and concern is growing over the fate of 15,000 refugees from Sierra Leone in the Monrovia area.
All right, you've been tuned in to Indie Media Radio London on 104.4 FM for the last hour. We're going to leave you with an audio clip, an audio report about Peru in South America, which has been in a state of emergency for some time now, but where a new way of doing things is being constructed at a grassroots level on the streets. Okay. Come back and find us right here, same time, same place, 1 o'clock Wednesday, Resonance 104.4 FM. We'll see you then.
See you soon.
Bye.
From Indie Media Peru. The whole of Peru in South America is in a state of emergency because of protests and social unrest. This situation began on the 14th of May, when the teachers began a strike demanding small salary increases. Some weeks later, the court workers joined them. Social unrest began to be uncontrollable and the government declared a state of emergency by which all strikes and protests are legal and individual rights like freedom of assembly, of movement, the right not to be detained without express order of a judge are suspended. The army is allowed to enter the house of any person and there is a curfew every night after 10 p.m. 12 of the 24 departments of Peru are now under military control and tanks stand in the cities in all important streets and landmarks. This state of emergency will last for another 2 weeks now. The teachers and court workers are defying this state of emergency by continuing their strike and have been joined by workers of all sectors. Transport workers, peasants, farmers, health workers, civil constructions and state workers, lorry drivers and also students and housewives. People are demonstrating on the streets in the cities and on the highways in the country. The Pan-American Highway, which runs linking several countries in the region, has been blockaded in more than 10 points. The objective of the state of emergency is to eliminate these blockades in these highways, to stop the strikes in the agricultural sector and to reopen the schools. The objective of the strikes and the protests is the resignation of the president, Alejandro Toledo, after he has broken all the promises he made during the electoral campaign. Political leaders from his own party has asked him to reduce his outrageous salary, as it might be the only way to regain some credibility. The demonstrators are also asking for the end of the state of emergency and the beginning of a dialogue with the government. However, so far, the only meeting that has been confirmed has been between the president, top businessmen and media owners. The worst clashes between police and army and demonstrators happened on the 30th of May. The soldiers attacked a march ferociously and 30 people were injured with beatings, 40 with bullet wounds and 2 students were shot dead. Also, 4 people are still missing. On the third day of the state of emergency, more than 200 people had been arrested. These figures are rising day by day, according to Indymedia Peru. On Monday, the 2nd of June, the government called for a national agreement. But on the same day, on a teacher's demonstrator, one of them was savagely wounded with a tear gas bomb and he lost some of his brain tissue. On Tuesday, 30,000 people demonstrated in Lima and there were other demonstrators in over 40 cities and a national strike was proclaimed all over the country. On Saturday, the 7th of June, tens of teachers in favour of the strike and against the raise offered by the government took a church in Huancayo in the Andes, east of Lima. The priest in charge of the church said that the whole community supports them and that they will be allowed to stay in the church to make their voices heard. About the killed students, the Minister of Defence minimised the issue and said the shots were against demonstrations in self-defence. Government sources have also been talking about Sendero Luminoso, a terrorist group that has not been operative for some years now. They claim that the workers on strike are terrorists, and this justifies attacks on the crowd. They also use this to discredit the popular uprising. In a statement released by the Union of Students and published in Indymedia Peru, they say that 4 students and 2 teachers have been killed. 2 million people are on strike, are on the streets. 90% of the population supports the strike of the teachers. There is an undetermined number of students disappeared. Hundreds remain detained. Many have been seriously injured by the army in all over the country. Figures are uncertain as they rise each day. And they conclude that this repression denotes the fear that the dominant classes feel as the people organize for salary increases, popular education, dwelling, health and work. Even if there are no talks, a positive result came out of this unrest. People in Peru are learning to organize themselves locally and linking different social sectors in the form of territorial coordinating bodies. A new way of doing things is being constructed at grassroots level in Peru.